Hey folks, thank you for becoming a member of Cafe Insider. In addition to the new Cafe Insider podcast, we're sharing bonus material from my interviews on Stay Tuned with Preet. This is exclusively for you. Hope you enjoy it. Political speeches, campaign speeches. Is there one that you consider the best of all time, or a couple?
Gosh, a whole bunch of, Cuomo in 84 at the convention is a pretty
city on a hill
rousing speech. Reagan in 76. Well, you know what's actually Reagan in 76 at the convention. So the storyline is Ford gets the nomination and calls Reagan down, and the speech Reagan gives his speech, and everybody says, "Oh my gosh, we've nominated the wrong guy." I went back and watched that. It's not Reagan's greatest. I mean, he gave great speeches, but that was his speech to Parliament about spreading democracy in 86. Is it? I can't remember, but is an amazing speech. The eulogy speeches. I mean, Barack Obama's speech after the massacre at Mother Emanuel is, when you think about, you are in the city that was the place through which more slaves came to America, and an African-American president relying on grace to unlock what is still the pain and poison in America of race, the history, the speech, the singing Amazing Grace, the grace of the families who forgave the shooter. I mean, that's a moment. That's an amazing moment. So it's not a campaign speech, but it's a...
Yeah, but it's funny. The speech that a lot of people talk about that Barack Obama gave, and some people say it's his best, it was a speech he gave at the Democratic National Convention in 2004. I don't know what you think about it. My view is, that was a very good speech. I don't think it comes close to his top five, but the reason people focus on it is that's the thing that launched him.
Yeah, right.
Do you agree that's not his best?
Well, and because now people would look at that and say, you were talking earlier about being naive,
right,
would say, wow. And I think his view at the end of his administration was, you know, I thought there was more good faith in the political system than there was. I don't know. I haven't watched that speech recently. I remember in his 2012 race that members of his staff used to go back and watch that speech to kind of, particularly after, remember, the first debate was not very good with,
yes,
Mitt Romney. They, yes, went back and watched that speech to kind of feel the old-time religion.
You know what they should have gone back and looked at? His Iowa speech and his South Carolina speech. I count those more highly than the speech at the DNC.
That's interesting. There's his last speech of the campaign in 2008 in, I think it was in Manassas. There's a hillside of people. It's late at night. His grandmother had just died either that day or the day before. That was quite an amazing speech. John McCain used to give, he couldn't give a proper speech, but his town halls in New Hampshire, when he ran against George W. Bush in 2000, the riffs he would do just off the cuff about dedicating yourself to a cause greater than your self-interest were some of the most amazing in the moment things I'd seen in response to a question, rekindling this idea of national service, commitment to norms and values. Those were just in-the-moment speeches that were on the campaign trail pretty powerful.
So you used to be the host of Face the Nation, prominent, big deal Sunday morning show. Do you miss that?
You know, I miss it and I don't miss it. I mean, I love being able to have this palette that I now have at 60 Minutes, which is the world. And it's the reason I got into journalism when I first went to Time Magazine in New York in the early 90s. The fact that I could just be interested in something and go cover it and have conversations with people about. So that's really exciting and I love it and I love New York. And I was in Washington for 26 years and I grew up there. So I think Margaret's doing a great job. I do occasionally miss it when it was at its best. There's nothing better, I think, and I hope you would agree with this, is that if you are with somebody who's operating in good faith, and I get to do this on the Gabfest every week with Emily and David, is operating in good faith and just wrestling over an issue, because it's the only way you confirm your own beliefs or illuminate yourself to new ones. It's a great way to, through the adversarial system, to come up with some kind of operating thesis for the way a thing exists. And when that's happening in its best, and through your conversation, it's what you do on this podcast, through your conversation, people can become illuminated. That's why we do what we do.
Have the Sunday morning shows lost or gained something over the years in terms of influence or educating people?
Well, to the extent that they've lost what they once had, which is, oh my gosh, I've never seen Everett Dirksen before. There's Everett Dirksen. So you, whatever Dirksen wasn't on, you know, MSNBC, right. It probably right. wouldn't be anyway. It would have been maybe on Fox. But
Eric Swalwell is already familiar to people.
Yes, exactly. And so that it's lost some of that. What it has gained, I think, and this is the way we tried to run the show and the way it's still run, which is in today's 98 news cycles a day, you need someone to stop the madness and pay attention to what's important, frame questions in the way that they should be framed, and kind of be an oasis in the madness, and to do interviews in that fashion. And so I think in that sense, the chaos and madness of the world has made them almost more important than ever. And also the fact they're on Sundays, and Face the Nation in particular comes after Sunday morning. It's at a different speed and tempo, and I think we could use more of that.
You know, but even that speed and tempo usually features interviews that last a few minutes. Mm. So I like doing this. I go on television also, but I'm not the questioner. I answer questions. Do you ever get frustrated in the various things that you do when you only have 7 minutes with somebody? How do you prepare for a 7-minute interview?
Yeah. So it's very hard. One of the things I love about 60 Minutes is that I did an interview the other day. We started at 9:30. We ended at 3:30. That's when I came into magazine journalism. It was Time Magazine. The internet was barely in existence in a public fashion. And you would spend days with people.
But most of that will end up on the cutting room floor.
Well, it will. But what ends up in the final piece will be informed by the larger conversation. And also, if you do other things as I do, either with analysis or writing, it informs. But you're right. But it's still as a matter of trying to get to the heart of things. It's a joy to be able to do that. The challenge with a 7-minute interview, there are a couple of them. If it's live, that's a problem. There's always an opportunity cost to every question you follow and every follow-up you make. So when you do a follow-up, it's not just that you could follow up every question. The problem is, are you willing to burn the possible answer you might get if you save that time for a future question?
It's a constant strategizing about the opportunity cost of the minutes, the precious few minutes you have.
That's exactly right. And, you know, the worst is when you don't do the follow-up and the question you ask gets a lame answer, right? So then you've not done your job by following up and you've gotten a nothing. The worst is when somebody knows that you're going to follow up and then just gets you stuck in the follow-up on their issue, which their voters are so excited to see them getting in a fight with somebody from the media about. And so they are controlling the turf and the conversation, and it's not illuminating anyone. There's a net reduction in information because somebody, this isn't everybody.
Yeah.
And because also in the right forum, if with the clock ticking, you can't do what you would do if you had an hour, which is say, walk them back to kind of common ground because the clock's ticking and you still have all those other questions you want to ask. So that's when it goes, you know, that's when it goes on the rocks. And, you know, certainly in some of my interviews with candidate Donald Trump and then when he was president, you know, I chose to try to get a final answer and there was a cost to that. And, you know, viewers had to make their choice about whether they wanted that cost or not.
Thanks again for becoming a member of Cafe Insider. Listen to the Cafe Insider podcast every Monday with me and Ann Milgram, and stay tuned every Thursday.